Welcome to Muse Kids.
I'm Rose.
And I'm Zara.
And together we're presenting this weekly podcast about what's going on in our world today. Each week we cover top stories across world news, politics, science, technology, entertainment and arts. This week we will be updating you on the latest news in relation to the spread of coronavirus and what is being discussed at the moment about how lockdowns might end. We also talk about how the oceans of the world might be restored by 2050, the sighting of the super pink moon, and finally, as we are all spending all our time indoors, a movie review of the film Jumanji, The Next Level. So, our main story this week is, of course, the coronavirus, or COVID-19, which continues to spread around the world, and lots of countries are continuing to struggle. The number of global coronavirus deaths increased to over 100,000, and the total number of cases worldwide is now greater than 1.6 million. This week, there were headlines about New York having more coronavirus cases than any country outside of the USA, and sadly, the USA has also become the first country in the world to record more than 2,000 coronavirus deaths in a single day. In the UK, the Prime Minister Boris Johnson was taken to hospital after being tested positive for coronavirus. He was taken into intensive care, which is a part of the hospital that looks after more seriously ill patients. Thankfully, on Easter Sunday, he was released from hospital and gave a speech thanking the doctors and nurses who had helped him. Some countries are thought to have coped better with this pandemic. Until this week, Singapore had avoided lockdown and life had been continuing pretty much as normal as the government had put into place early travel restrictions, lots of testing of every suspected case and tracking down anyone who had come into contact with a confirmed case. This had been working well. However, recently countries started urging all their citizens to return home, and so thousands of people who had been outside of Singapore returned and may have brought the virus back with them. This led to increasing cases, particularly in the dormitories where a lot of Singapore's labourers live together. So last week, Singapore passed a new law, which means that it is also now under partial lockdown, similar to many other countries. Here in Dubai, we are still under a strict lockdown and you have to apply for a permit to leave the house if you need to go to a supermarket or the pharmacy. The UAE has also set up drive-through test centres so that more people can be tested for COVID-19. Every day, I hope that the situation across the world improves very soon.
So do I, Rose. I hope we can then safely come out of lockdown. There have been a few articles over the last week about how and when countries might come out of lockdown. This week, millions of people living in Wuhan, where this virus was first discovered, were celebrating as, for the first time since January, residents who are healthy and virus-free were allowed to leave the city, and many shops and businesses have opened again with public transport running. Wuhan had the strictest lockdown as people were not even allowed to go out for food and medicine. It was delivered to them, so no wonder people are celebrating. However, it is not the end of restrictions for everyone. The Chinese government has given healthy citizens a code on their phones, which shows that they are healthy and can travel. Denmark has also announced that it plans to reopen daycare centres and primary schools on the 15th of April, but all other restrictions, like the closure of shopping centres and banning of gatherings of more than 10 people, will stay until at least the 10th of May. In Austria, many shops will be reopening this week, and children in Norway's kindergartens are going to be going back on the 20th of April, with junior schools opening a week later. What about other countries? It is a question each government has to ask itself, because the longer the lockdown continues, the longer businesses are closed and people do not have any income. This week, there was some good news, as a leading British scientist, Sarah Gilbert, who is a professor of vaccinology at Oxford's University, said that she was 80% confident that a vaccine being developed by her team would work and could be ready as soon as September. Initial safety trials are due to begin soon, with further studies following around the world to see if the vaccine reduces the risk of catching the coronavirus. A vaccine is thought to be the best way to return to normality, as most commentators on the issue think that even if lockdowns are eased in the coming weeks, some sort of social distancing has to remain in place for a long time. This could be things like ensuring that elderly or other vulnerable people continue to remain at home and a lot of people continue to work from home. Governments would need to increase testing a lot and also introduce contact tracing of the type used in Singapore. The National Health Service in England, in common with many other countries, is trying to rush out a contact tracing app which can be installed on phones and record everyone that you have met who uses the same app. Then, if you test positive, doctors can send the people you have been in contact with an automatic alert. What do you think, Rose? What would you do if you were the Prime Minister of a country? If you don't lock down the country, there might be lots of deaths. And if you lock down, then lots of people might lose their jobs.
Well, I do want the lockdown to end, or at least reduce the strictness of the lockdown very soon. So I would say, if I were Prime Minister, that maybe the answer to your question might be anyone over 50 might have to stay at home for a bit longer than any person under 50. Doesn't really matter about the gender, it's just about the age, because the people getting affected the worst are the elderly, but the young kids and everyone else is getting trapped inside. I really think young people should be allowed out again, and the elderly should be, in about a month's time or so, when things start to look better. Hi, it's Rose here again. On to some more positive news. This week, a new scientific report about ocean life said that the health of the world's oceans could be successfully restored by 2050. Over recent decades, fish and other marine species have been hunted almost to extinction. Oil spills and other forms of pollution have poisoned the seas, and the growing influence of climate change has bleached coral reefs around the world. Yet, in spite of this, the report published in the scientific journal Nature and written by an international team of scientists said that measures taken to reduce the damage appear to be working well. Among the success stories are humpback whales that migrate from Antarctica to eastern Australia, whose populations have surged from a few hundred animals in 1968, before whaling was banned, to more than 40,000 today. Sea otters in western Canada had risen from just dozens in 1980 to thousands now. In the Baltic Sea, both grey seal and cormorant populations are soaring. The proportion of marine species assessed as threatened with global extinction by the IUCN has dropped from 18% in 2000 to 11.4% in 2019. The researchers identified 9 components that are key to rebuilding the oceans: salt marshes, mangrove seagrasses, coral reefs, kelp oyster reefs, fisheries, megafauna, and the deep ocean. Professor Cullen Roberts from the University of York, who co-authored the report, said, "We now have the skills to be able to restore vital marine habitats such as oyster reefs, mangrove swamps, and salt marshes, which keep our seas clean, our coast protected, and provide food to support entire ecosystems." They said that climate change, challenges of scaling up conservation efforts, and money are the big hurdles, as a new study estimates that it will cost $10 to $20 billion a year to rebuild marine life by 2050.
Hello, it's Zara here. So, did you know that last Tuesday, on the 7th of April, the pink supermoon appeared? This was the biggest, brightest supermoon of 2020, A supermoon occurs when the moon is especially close to the Earth while it's full. The proximity to Earth makes the moon look 14% bigger and 30% brighter than a full moon at its farthest point from Earth. The full moon in April is also nicknamed the pink moon, as it is named after pink flowers called ground phlox, which bloom in early spring and are found throughout the US and Canada. So, it doesn't actually have a pink colour to it. Did you manage to see the pink moon, Rose?
No, sorry, Zara, I missed it. But it would have been lovely to see it. I tried to picture it in my mind. Did you, Zara?
No, actually, but I wish I had seen it.
Hi, it's Rose here again. Our final piece for this week is a review of the film Jumanji, The Next Level, which I saw at the cinema before our lockdown even started, and is now available on Apple TV. Jumanji The Next Level is a sequel to 2017's Jumanji Welcome to the Jungle movie and is the fourth installment in the Jumanji franchise. The film stars Dwayne Johnson, Jack Black and Kevin Hart and takes place 3 years after Welcome to the Jungle, in which the same group of teenagers, along with an old friend and two new additions, become trapped in the Jumanji game. The twist this time is that something in the game goes wrong when it starts up, sucking in two new characters and resulting in all the old avatars being swapped around. Once again, the main characters all find themselves facing new problems and challenges while having to save the land from a new villain, Jürgen the Brutal, in order to escape from the game. So, what did I think of the movie? It was really fun to watch, but I didn't think it was quite as good as the other movies of Jumanji, as it was a bit more frightening. But there were lots of funny parts too, and there is a really good twist in the plot where the characters find out they have swapped avatars. The two new characters, Eddie and Milo, are really funny and mean the movie isn't as predictable as you might think, and you definitely get the impression that the next level of the game is a lot harder than the last one. I'd give this movie a 7 out of 10 and would say it's worth watching if you're bored under the lockdown and want an afternoon of fun entertainment. That's all for this week. I hope you enjoyed our show and thank you for listening.